This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till 1 o'clock or a little bit longer. Bring you a weekly review of news for Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain, plus topics and a little crosstalk here between the different participants of the show. Panels has... His analysis and columns are up on TradingView.com, and you can find it there. Goldbug1, also known as Andy. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. I appreciate being here again.
Well, for our next panelist. And that would, of course, be the CEO of the company that is placing Bitcoin ATMs all around Tampa Bay, in Florida, and beyond. That would be Lee Hansen. He is the co-founder and CEO of Bite Federal. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon.
And then also on the line, we'll have, be bringing you a new voice here in the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. But this week, well, it's another week and another hard fork for Bitcoin with Bitcoin Gold. SegWit 2X is coming, or is it? Warren Buffett talks bubbles, while PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel thinks Bitcoin still has a lot of potential left. Goldblood 1 asks, who are the new central bankers of cryptocurrency, and what the heck is Bitcoin Silver? Well, just to set the stage for the discussion, there was about a minute-long debate, at least edited down to a minute, of Tom Lee, the Fundstrat manager, former financial institution executive, and Andrew Left of Citron Research in the financial industry also. And that also was a controversy there.
3 years. If it's 5% of gold, in 5 years, it's $25,000 per unit.
When a headline comes out that Mr. Lee put out and was picked up widespread with a $25,000 target, based on 5% of the total gold outstanding, he has to understand what he could have done to the individual investor who's going to follow him into this trade of 5,600, and it's irresponsible.
An investor, you do want to have some exposure. I mean, imagine if you could have bought Google as an early stage company in 2000, but you were worried because you didn't know if how big the search market was going to be. I think that's really the same issue you face today when you think about blockchain. I wouldn't want investors to put 100% of their money into Bitcoin. Just a 2% exposure actually helps your overall returns without letting you take that much risk.
Mr. Lee, in 3 weeks, what do we buy, Bitcoin 1 or Bitcoin 2? Do we buy today? We see Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Cash. If this is going to become investable long-term for the future, it needs to stop being so volatile, it needs to keep its identity, and it has to be labeled that we understand, is it a currency or an asset?
All right, that was Tom Lee of Fundstrat. Andrew Left of Citron Research, and a mini debate on CNBC, courtesy of CNBC there. And a lot of issues that were raised there. Let's go to Lee first. I do want to tell both Lee and Andy that you didn't have the benefit of seeing the video like I did. And Tom Lee, you might have heard it in his voice. He was a little bit hesitant and taken back when he had the aggressive come on there by Andrew Left, because I think, seriously, to go out on CNBC and say Bitcoin's going to make 25,000, even if here in the studio some of us may believe that a near-future probability, it's putting yourself out there, and it's more like an attention-grabbing kind of headline statement that you want to get. So now he has to come back and defend it, and Andrew Left just has to comment on some of the things that are very confusing to the average person. First off, Lee, what about the pricing? Do you think Tom Lee was very off on that?
It's so hard to know which direction the pricing is going to take, specifically because of how impacted it is on the in the market because of attitudes, because of the news, because of, you know, all the things going on. But I think that we'll see volatility for sure. But as far as like a long-term projection, Bitcoin will continue to climb. My argument is that Bitcoin isn't really a Bitcoin. And I think the people are going to slowly realize that Bitcoin Cash is actually Bitcoin.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that in just a second, but that speaks to Andrew Left's second part of this, where he says, what is the real Bitcoin? But let me go to Andy first, because you're talking about trading in the short term, sometimes in the long term. What do you think about the idea of Bitcoin going to 25,000? The Bitcoin we all know as Bitcoin, or referred to as Bitcoin now.
Yeah, well, that's it's definitely a possibility, and there's several, you know, I mean, you know, there's several paths to go to 75, 100,000, you know, 100,000. We've all seen it. We've all heard it. But I agree with Lee on this, is there's so much divisiveness within the powers that be that control the mining and the exchanges that I think they could destroy a good thing. And I think the currencies that come out of this is Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum. I think those are your two big plays.
All right. Well, I don't know if you heard it here first, but you definitely just heard it here. You said Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin. Andy is backing it as an investment for the future. But let's break it down, because we have another hard fork coming up. We've had one hard fork with Bitcoin Cash. We had another one with Bitcoin Gold. And we have another one with SegWit 2X. We've got something called Bitcoin Silver. I don't even know if that's really a real hard fork. I don't even know what a real hard fork is, but that's why Lee's here. Let's start to break this down, if we can, for the audience. We've had this over and over, but it takes a while, especially on when you're listening to a radio show, trying to absorb it. So today's version of Bitcoin, some may refer to it as legacy Bitcoin. There's a 1 megabit size limit to the size of the blocks. What does that mean?
That's the block size. It has to do with the number of transactions we can pack into a block that gets verified. So if you can only pack 1 meg block, there's a finite number of transactions, obviously. You know, if you compare Bitcoin Cash, it has an 8 meg block, so you can fit 8 times the transactions. But obviously, because it's an 8 meg block, it's a much larger transaction, much you know, greater computational requirement, and much greater storage requirement.
Okay. Well, let's stop there for a second, because that's taken for granted that we even understand that much. So the point of a Bitcoin and crypto, the block, is to maintain a ledger, a distributed ledger, of all the transactions that have happened to that Bitcoin or fraction of a Bitcoin?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so, you know, maybe the best way for some people that are just getting into it, and, boy, I'm going to really date myself. I remember my first desktop computer, and I think it had half a gig as the memory.
You mean half a meg. Half a meg, you mean, Henry.
But, and so at the time, what was this, like 15 years ago that this was developed, 12 years ago, 11 years ago, Bitcoin?
Bitcoin? I have no idea. I thought the first time I ever saw it was 2009.
I think that's about right.
Okay. All right, so 8 years ago. But I think it was actually, I was reading about it before that. It just was very, very much, it's something I read about, sort of like a unicorn. But
I think that coin's coming out, and Mark Cuban's involved in it.
Oh, wow. We'll be sure to deal with that on a future show. So a megabyte might have sounded like a pretty good amount of storage. But now, if 8 megabytes, what Bitcoin Cash can do, when is that going to become? Then are we going to need another larger block?
That's the basis of the software design, is that every time we reach the maximum, then we have to deal with a hard fork. But if the hard fork follows the same principle as the original basis of design, then we have little to worry about. We just have to upgrade all the systems that interact with it, and that's just the way it is.
Now, how does your systems upgrade with that? I mean, do you have to upgrade your systems yourself, or how does that work?
We have to upgrade.
And we haven't given that background. This is the CEO of Byte Federal, the company that places ATMs all around the southeastern United States, maybe sometime soon beyond. And as we were told by Leonard Lopen, the chief technical officer, last week. You're now one of the top 10 Bitcoin ATM companies in the country.
I think he bought that 20,000 Bitcoin pizza back in the day, is what I hear.
He was a little bit off. We're 13th largest in the nation right now, according to CoinATM Radar.
What are they
as far as the upgrade is concerned, the we have to wait for the manufacturer to introduce the Bitcoin Cash into the back end of the ATMs, and then we have to upgrade everything in front of it to make it all work with our network.
So what currencies do you currently support in the Byte Federal ATMs?
We currently support Bitcoin, which isn't really Bitcoin.
Legacy Bitcoin.
the one that stole the name. And we support Dash, which we really like. And then we also support Ethereum.
Okay. Now, do you have plans to do Bitcoin Cash? Is that in the works?
Yeah. As soon as it's available, it will make it available to our network.
Now, question for you. As a merchant here, and, you know, we own a restaurant, with merchant services, is it important that, you know, these coins, because you see these coins popping up, Verticoin, and I get a lot of, hey, check this coin out, check that coin out, and you're thinking to yourself, there's no way that you could possibly, use all these coins. Do you see the future of just a few coins being used for merchants and stuff like that?
It's an interesting question. I think that we're trying to formulate the next great evolution of finance. Can we all just, admit that we don't know what's going to happen? I mean, I think the reality is that that new markets will evolve that we can't possibly comprehend at this stage. Will we need to use, 1,000 different coins for 1,000 different transactions? Possibly. Will it be programmatic? Will it be abstracted away from the complexities, will it abstract the complexity away from humans? And the answer is yes, in some way, but I don't know how.
All right, we are off the clock at this point in time, and we have a guest in the wings waiting. We're going to go ahead and take a break now, and we will be back with Rosa Shores from the Tampa Bay Blockchain Incubator Block Spaces. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show.
It's all the way up. It's all the way up. It's all the way up.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
It's The Henry Raines Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. And you can find the show if you search on a number of podcast platforms. In the studio, we have the CEO of Byte Federal, the ATM company that's placing Bitcoin ATMs around the Southeast. We have Goldbug One, columnist and analyst from TradingView.com, also known as Andy. And holding on the line very patiently, and I don't know about you guys, but I've always found that when things start to go wrong, the best thing to do is bring in someone much more competent than you to try and pull things out of the fire and make you look better. And almost always that turns to be a very competent woman, and you just hope for the best that she will save you from the technical issues that have gone on. Rosa Shores is co-owner of the Tampa Bay Incubator Block Spaces. And that is a co-working education startup incubator space in Tampa, Florida. It's located in the South Tampa area on the high-traffic Gandy Quarter. It engulfs nearly 3,500 square feet. That's a little bit bigger than Mocha Joe's, I think, of a recently renovated technology center. And in addition to a co-work space, offers educational workshops, special events, conference space, a podcast studio, and a blockchain art book retail shop. Not to mention, in our spare time, she's also managed to become the co-founder of ClearVoter, a privately owned, for-profit, early-stage startup corporation positioning a nonpartisan, community-based civic action network. So we want to thank her for coming on. You may have heard her other cohort in this endeavor, Gabe Higgins, on previous shows, but now we get to speak with Rosa Shores. Rosa, thank you so much for making yourself available today.
Oh, you're welcome, and there is no way I can live up to that introduction, so I do appreciate it, and I will do my best.
All right, so I don't know if you heard any of the lead-in before the break.
I did.
Okay, good. Well, that's good in some ways and not so much in some of the others.
No.
We had this discussion here about what's Bitcoin, what's not Bitcoin, what happens with the fork. We barely scratched the surface of the basics for the audience, but where do you jump in on this discussion?
Well, first of all, I just want to say there is no shame in saying that you have no idea what's going on. I mean, I live this. I've been in this since 2013. As you've mentioned, we are in the works of opening up a co-work a space that concentrates specifically on blockchain projects and cryptocurrency. And there is literally no way that I don't feel stupid every single day just listening to people discuss it, because it is a brand new cutting edge technology, and there are so few people in this space that can truly speak to it. And most of those people are devs that are actually, you know, working on it every single day. I am in no way, nor would I ever say that I am an expert on blockchain. I'm simply a passionate enthusiast, and, you know, have been around it long enough to just sort of absorb the genius of it all. So with all of that said, you know, I think as far as these hard forks are concerned, there's so much going on with it right now. I would highly suggest for everybody to just hold tight and not try to do any sort of major transactions as we're going up into these hard forks, especially this one that's coming up, 2X, which I think is going to be like nothing that we've necessarily seen before, if it even happens. I have just heard recently that they are – some of the miners are now saying they're not going to signal it, some of the mining pools. So we'll see.
Let me stop you for just a second and get you to comment on Lee's thoughts that Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin, and also Andy's thoughts that in the long term, that is the cryptocurrency that will take leadership.
Well, it could. Right? So that's the beautiful thing to me about all of this, is that it's not really up to us to decide. It's up to consensus. It's up to, you know, what is being supported. You know, Bitcoin Cash, that's one of the things that I don't understand about this 2X hard fork at the moment, is that it provides no additional value that we don't already have. You know, Bitcoin Cash does increase the block size to 8 megs. And so we have something that does that already, right? So this 2X, I'm not quite sure what the value add is, except to cause, like, massive confusion. And as far as, you know, Bitcoin Gold, even though I don't necessarily find tremendous value in that either, it at least – so what – with Bitcoin Cash, because of the increase in block size, with Bitcoin Cash and with the legacy chain Bitcoin, it becomes this true, not just an economic debate, but there's a philosophical debate going on here too. And so you have core developers that, you know, believe in what Bitcoin was supposed to be, that everybody could run this, that this was something that, you know, anybody could do. When you start increasing block sizes, as your one guest said, you start requiring a tremendous amount of power, you require a tremendous amount more resources, and that in and of itself starts to become centralized. So we're talking about a debate between centralization and decentralization, which is the whole entire heart of Bitcoin, in my opinion. Bitcoin Gold allows mining to happen on with GPU instead of ASICs mining. So it sort of gives that value add back to, you know, putting Bitcoin back into the hands of the people, so to speak. Whereas Bitcoin Cash is, it almost, because of the energy that it requires to run it, starts to seep into that centralization aspect.
Okay. Let's stop here there for a second, because I want to bring Lee back into this and possibly Andy, but I do want to say, See, I told you as soon as we brought her on, the show was going to start sounding better, didn't it?
Absolutely.
I think I'm selling all my Bitcoin cash now. I'm going to have to take that back.
So we're speaking with Rosa Shore. She is the co-owner of Blockspaces, the Tampa Bay Blockchain Incubator, and co-founder of ClearVoter. Lee, what are your thoughts about what Rosa has said so far?
It's difficult for us, any of us, to actually have a concise idea as to the computational requirement increase from 1 meg blocks to 8 meg blocks. But next show, I promise to know exactly what that computational requirement is. I do know that, if we go back to the awesome Moore's Law, we can anticipate an ever-increasing computational ability with an ever-reducing cost of that ability. I'm not quoting Moore's Law precisely, but basically we're, technological advancement will facilitate easier and easier affordability for the, computational requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the good thing about the decentralization and all that, I think the issue with that is that it is no longer decentralized. I mean, the big mining companies and these exchanges are really the ones that are directing it. I mean, we have no power. I mean, who has a home set up that is mining today that was mining in 2010? Nobody. You cannot afford to do it. These big mining pools and these exchanges have taken over, and they have made it a centralized system, regardless of whether, we think in principle it is or not. I mean, look at the SegWit2, and we got Bitcoin Gold, which is, going down in price. I mean, they bumped that out. It was at $400 on the futures. I mean, they're trading this stuff on the futures market. I think SegWit2 is trading at $1,000 right now. And it's just bumping this stuff up to incite the people, to get them to buy. And in the meanwhile, they're accumulating good quality coins, which I think is Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, Dash, that actually have low fees and have usability.
Before you go too far here, because I do want to point out a couple things to the audience. This is a recent column of yours. If they want to take their time and be able to read it at their own pace, and they can find that where?
They can find that on TradingView. I did about the manipulation of manipulation of the states.
TradingView.com, and you just search for Goldbug1, exactly how most people think it's spelled. And then
there will be no gold silver. I mean, we're not coming out with it. We're not splitting.
Can you go to Facebook and get that too?
No, I did not post that on Facebook. Facebook's
what
new.
What do you find on the new Facebook page?
I'm going to start updating the charts and stuff there, and then start to as an open blog at that point, just to kind of get
and the
people.
And the name of that when they search?
It'd be Seeking Cryptos.
Seeking Cryptos. Rosa, coming back to you. So Andy was saying about the big mining pools are concentrating their power, I think you just said, if I listened correctly, that Bitcoin Cash probably takes the more power and the more computing ability, the computational ability, I mean. So why haven't they pushed Bitcoin Cash to the top of the heap?
Well, I mean, I think, again, like I said, I think there's like a philosophical debate going on here. I know Roger Ver, and I know some Bitcoin Core developers.
Now tell
and
the
I
audience
feel...
who he is, please.
Roger Ver is sort of he was the original investor in Bitcoin. He's been around the longest, so to speak, as far as being an investor, and he is sort of the guru. They used to call him Bitcoin Jesus. And he is sort of the lead advocate for Bitcoin Cash. He also owns Bitcoin.com. So he is of the mindset, and I don't necessarily disagree with Roger Ver. You mentioned the two startup projects that I'm on. But I also, as my day job, I'm in the digital commerce division for HSN. My original interest in Bitcoin was as a payment processing and for ease of payment for e-commerce. So I recognize that there needs to be like a massive solution for Bitcoin in order for there ever to be mass adoption. We can't compete with Visa doing transactions that are expensive and slow. So I understand Roger Ver's philosophy, And I don't necessarily disagree with him. He is looking at mass adoption. The core developers feel like it's more important to hold on to the philosophical elements of Bitcoin as a way to disrupt the financial sector. And everybody wants bigger block sizes. I mean, everybody wants the ability to make transactions fast and inexpensive. But the core developers feel that there's more of a slow and steady, and let's not do anything that might possibly disrupt this technology, you know, for, like, rash decisions. That decisions should be made slowly, and maybe Bitcoin isn't going to be everything for everybody, and blockchain isn't going to be everything for everybody. So there's a true philosophical difference here. So I feel like there is this desire to move quickly that maybe shouldn't be so. And I think that that's what's happening with all of these hard forks as well. But again, you know, Bitcoin is an open source, is open source. Anybody can fork it at any time. And I suspect that will continue to happen.
I want you to hold that thought, Rosa, if you could, okay. Just a moment, please. We're going to go to the more or less bottom of the hour break here. And we'll be coming back on the other side with this topic and much, much more. We have Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, in the studio. Lee Hansen, CEO of Byte Federal. That's bytefederal.com if you want to find a Bitcoin ATM close to you. And we have the co-owner on the line of Blockspaces, the Tampa Bay Blockchain Incubator. And we'll be back, all that, much more after the break.